today on Real Radio.
You see, it's not some precarious situation about can you lose your salvation. The question is, do you have it? For those of us who have it, we know it. For those of you who don't, you're hoping, wishing, thinking it pans out okay in the end. Not good.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? Now, once someone becomes a true believer, the question often comes up, can I lose my salvation? We hear terms like eternal security, once saved, always saved, those sorts of phrases. So here's a good question for you. What does Scripture say on the matter? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs dealing with the question, can I lose my salvation? It's part of his continuing series called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven?
And then don't you have this battle? Honestly, this morning for me, I can tell you it went on for about 45 minutes. I would wake up and, Lord, and then... Don't you get so miserable with yourself? And he's like this. He's like, come on. It's like, let's play. Come on. And then it's just, you know what? It's literally, truly miserable to stay in this bed now. I'm having no fun in this bed. I can't get any peace because doggone it, Lord, you love me so much. You're making me get out of bed right now. And you just got to get up. Just do it. In fact, go to the store and just go buy a coffee pot with an alarm on it so that it goes on automatic. You think I'm kidding? You got to do that. Set the alarm in the other room. Ding, 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 ding. You got to get up. Oh, man. Beat that body into subjection to the will of God. You got to get it up and get it going. That's what he does to the life of the believer. Why? Because he loves being with us. We don't even like being with us. He likes being with us. He's amazing. He saves us to the uttermost, to the full end, all the way through. The nature of a Christian, if you're a Christian, the Bible tells us, Jesus introduced this to us, Isaiah introduced us to this concept that we are sheep. We are sheep. I wish I had time to tell you about sheep. I know a lot about sheep. You think I'm joking? I'm telling you the truth. I know a lot about sheep. I used to work for, I'm not going to say the name because it gets the animal people really upset, but I used to work for one of the largest global medical firms in the world. We had hundreds of thousands of employees worldwide, offices all over the world. But we only had a couple of research laboratories, and I happened to have been a supervisor of one of those research laboratories. And one of those laboratories, right downtown in a certain town, in a certain city, we had unmarked buildings. They're still unmarked to this day. You drive by them and you go, that's a nice building down right down there right by that airport. Wow, that's a nice building. Ooh, that's a beautiful place. Well, wonder what's in that building. You open the front door of that building, you walk in there, and there's sheep. They're trucked in at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, when nobody can see them. Why? Are you ready for this? Because animal experimentation for the human heart and the human physiology, with what we did, had to be done on sheep. Why? Because sheep are the most physiologically regarding its cardiology of any other animal that you can use, sheep. And you know the amazing thing is? Those sheep were very well taken care of, but trust me, none of them felt anything. It wasn't that kind of a place. It was a real big deal that they be treated like humans in every way. And they were prepped and brought into the operating room. And you would thought if they weren't wrapped in blue, you would think that you're in a hospital. Why? Because sheep physiologically are so much like a human. It's unbelievable. And isn't it amazing? The Bible says we are the sheep of his pasture. That Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep. He leadeth me beside still waters. Why? You want to know why? Because a sheep will walk to get a drink. A sheep will walk right into a river and be swept off its feet and go down the river and die to get a drink of water. They're that stupid. They're that stupid. And if you don't shear a sheep and it rains outside, They get all the water flows in the wool down to the gravity pulls the water down. They can't get up. Did you know that if a sheep's not sheared, it would eventually die? A sheep has to have human care. Just the existence of a sheep argues against evolution. You can't have sheep without a human. It's awesome. Well, the Bible tells us, speaks to us, that we are the sheep of his pasture. He never says we are his goats. In fact, the Bible in Matthew 25 says he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Isn't that interesting? In Matthew 6:19, the Bible says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys nor thieves break in to steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you're one of the little lambs of God, you're very interested in having heaven always before your heart, because salvation is happening in your life. Can you lose your salvation? Let me tell you something. I've been trying to build a very subtle case for you to answer that question in your own heart. Are the things that I'm talking about, do you recognize these things? Can you say to me, yeah, that's true in my life. I know how that is. That's right. And I want more Bible in my life. I want to have less of this world, and I want to have more God in my life. Why do you think that? Why are you that way? Because you're a sheep. And he says of his sheep, I lose none of them. What's the problem there with that? You are either truly his or you're not. The issue tonight is make sure. That's key. Salvation is not something acquired. It's given. It's a gift. It's something that's received. He offers it to everybody. But will you take it? You can refuse it. You can deny it. You can reject it. Once salvation has affected a man, he goes through a change. There's no doubt about it. Church, listen, I want to say that again. Once salvation has affected a man, he goes through a change. It may be subtle, but it's a change nonetheless. Something happens within that man that's profoundly different. It's almost hard to explain. Questioning God's sovereignty in this area, also this, about losing salvation is, or the thought that you can, leads to this question. Then who can lose their salvation? If you're saying tonight, Jack, that if you're born again, filled with the Spirit of God, and you're sealed, as the book of Ephesians chapter 1 says, until the day of redemption, then who can lose their salvation? Again, I ask you this. What kind of a question is that? You need to make sure tonight that you have his salvation. Acts 13:48 says, then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, quote, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. He's speaking to the Jewish people. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. But we have a problem. Because as humans, and as Christians, we somehow, instead of sharing with people the direct, clear gospel, we water it all down. And then if somebody were to ask us, oh, man, you just water that down. Didn't you water it down? Oh, no. But listen, we're tempted to water down the gospel when we're sharing with people because we don't want to hurt their feelings. We don't want them to feel uncomfortable. I don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. I don't want to feel uncomfortable. But for those of you who are Christian tonight, do you remember how you felt when your eyes began to open up to consider Jesus? You guys, for those of us who are Christians tonight, I remember that 30 plus years ago on a Monday night on June 20th, 1977, I thought I was dying. I was sitting in a sanctuary full of people. And when Greg Laurie opened his mouth and gave the gospel, I thought I was the only one sitting there. I began to sweat. I thought that guy had crawled into my life. How does he know what I've been doing? I don't even know him. Hippie. And God just began to fillet me open like a fish. I was so, do you know what I'm talking? If you don't know this, it is the most, you have to know this. There's no salvation without the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And he says, this I bear witness is the truth. And this is your life, Jack. And you're in great peril. Flee like Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Run, flee from the city. It's going to be burned up. Run, 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 run. And I remember just, what do I do? And I turned to this person, will you go forward with me? And this person said, hey, you're on your own, buddy. Christian love, you're on your own. Do you know what I'm talking about? When the Spirit of God convicts you, you know it's him. And it doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter. Listen, he's the God of the whole earth. And no matter what some religion, church, cult might say, you think he's threatened by that? Don't think his silence is somehow weakness. He's just waiting for the moment where you might have some sort of a thought. And all this stuff I'm going through for real? And then he says to you, nope. You need me. He's awesome. But who can lose their salvation? I argue, if you got it, you got it. And the question is irrelevant. We shouldn't even talk about it anymore. The question, as I said earlier, is do you have it? See, well, you see, you got it, you got it. What does that mean, you got it? Have you yielded to him? Have you died to yourself? See, what are you talking about? Have you said, God, I surrender to you. I can't figure this out. Jesus, cross, heaven, hell, I'm convicted of my sin. The Bible says that you died on the cross for me. If you're a note taker tonight, I'm going to ask you to read this in your leisure. It's Matthew chapter 13. Will you read it? It's the parable of the sower and the seed. The sower throws out seed to four different types of hearts. Read it very carefully. Only one of those receivers get saved, are born again, or have faith in Christ. The other three are completely lost. They're all time and eternity. Lost. There's only one in that parable. Read it later. John chapter 10, verse 27. Oh, this is good. John 10, 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, I give them eternal life, they shall never perish. What do you think never means, I wonder? I'll just give you one guess. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Okay, listen, I have an illustration for you. Check this out. This is what that looks like, and it should be in your life. Do you have that? Okay. Hey, I did the best I could. Father's hand, son's hand. Okay? Jesus just said that. My sheep, they know my voice. They come to me. They're in my Father's hand, and they're in my hand. You're not getting out of there. You think the Lord is going to allow Satan to come and yank you out of that spot? Do you think the world is going to be able to yank you out of that spot? You can try to get out of that spot. I think if you tried to wiggle, he just squeezes his hands together. There's a big difference. Are you a sheep tonight or are you a goat tonight? Check this image out of the screen. It's very important. There are sheep and there are goats. And it's a very important thing to realize which one you are. Now look at that. Look at him. Does he looks dumb. The Bible says that we're either sheep or goats. Listen, did you know this? It takes 1 week. If you spend 24 hours a day for a week with a sheep, talking to it, naming it, calling it, or whatever your announcements are, in 1 week, that sheep will not leave you. That sheep, that's your sheep. 1 week, it will know you. That's it. You call them Bob. Bob, sheep, Bob. Bob, come here. And you can have 100 people say, Bob. That sheep's going to come to you in 1 week's time. Next slide. Goat. Look at him. Look at, you say, well, Jack, he looks smarter. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Look at him. You know what he's thinking right now? How do I get that bag out of that lady's pocket and eat it? How do I get into that purse? See that kid? I'm going to knock him down. Right? They'll eat metal. They'll start chewing on a can. Sheep are very picky about what they eat. Not a goat. A goat will eat anything. And by the way, their digestive system is so bizarre, it's rigged to eat junk, not a sheep. Next slide. Look at this guy. Yeah. He's saying, come on. Have you ever seen an attack lamb? This is a ram. This is a goat here. He's coming after you. Man, can you imagine? That hurt. Next slide. Yeah, look at him. Look at that. Can you imagine that thing coming after you? And then we end with this. And this is going to shock some of you. How saved can a person be? How saved can a person be? The Bible's clear on this. Salvation is much more durable than you and I are willing to admit or embrace. See, are you sure about that? Oh, yeah, I'm sure about that. Luke 22:31. Listen to this. The Lord said to Peter, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. That's what the Bible says. Do you remember that? You guys all know that, right? Just before Jesus' betrayal. And Jesus says, Simon, Simon, Satan's asked for you. Here's the reality check version of that. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you. Insertion, Peter. You told him I'm not available, right? Jesus, that he may sift you as wheat. Peter, that would hurt really, really bad. Verse 32, but I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Peter, I don't plan on going anywhere. Can you imagine Jesus saying to Peter, Satan's asked for you by name. That's what the word means in the Greek. He came, Satan came to me and asked me for you by name, Peter. And I'm thinking, Peter would have just said, well, who cares? You told him no, right? Jesus is a radical thing. When you've returned, strengthen your brethren. When you know what it's like, Peter, to have walked away and betrayed me and denied me, you're not going to look much different than Judas. You're going to look a lot alike. But when you come back home, when you return, you tell your brothers what it's like to walk away and how miserable you were away from me. You cried, you denied, you wept, you heard roosters crowing. And then when you came back about the grace and the mercy and the restoration, you tell your brethren about that, Peter. And that's an awesome thing. Peter denied Jesus Christ. The Bible even says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, you can read it later, that he even began to curse and swear that he did not know Jesus. And Jesus says, when you come back, you strengthen your brethren. My goodness, isn't that not awesome? How saved can a person be? Are you born again? Yep. Nowhere in the Bible can you show me where you're unborn again. As I said earlier, the book of Ephesians chapter 1 says you're sealed until the day of redemption. You cannot be unsealed. Your denomination, maybe the church you went to before, taught you differently. Listen, that is a tragic thing. They should have said, are you really born again? Have you surrendered your life? Have you quit living for you and now decided to live for him? All right, here you go. Encouragement, and then we're done. Romans 10:8. What does the scripture say? It's near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, that this, the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess, ek homologeo, with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Past tense. You shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessions to made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. That's a lot of stuff. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, that includes yourself, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise him up on the last day. One final scripture. Listen to this. You're going to be shocked to hear this. Paul is writing to the believers at Corinth. That is one of the most messed up churches that's ever existed. They were carnal, messed up, goofy. Division, splits, cliques. It was like the church of Jerry Springer, weird. They were weird, the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 5:1. It is, by the way, turn there. Is it on the screen or no? I don't know. Oh, yeah, it is. Okay, watch this. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that does not occur even among pagans. A man has his father's wife. So some guy, some kid, is having sex with his stepmom. And you are proud? Should you not have been filled with grief? Next slide. Are you there? And have put out of your fellowship the man who did this? Even though I am not physically present, I am with you in spirit. And I have already passed judgment on the one who did this, just as if I were present. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of the Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan so that the sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. You say, Pastor, I can't believe you shared that verse in the church. Paul is saying this guy is so backslidden, so messed up and whacked out that he's having sex with his stepmom. And Paul says the guy is a believer. Paul says take the guy because you're not supposed to have fellowship with those who are involved in sexual immorality, even within the church. Paul says cast the guy out. Tell him he can't fellowship here anymore. Let Satan destroy his body. When he leaves the church, he leaves the protection of the body. Let Satan kill his body. He'll have a donkey speed down the street and hit the guy. He'll get killed by a speeding donkey. Why? So that his soul, his spirit, is saved in the day of Christ. That's radical. You see, it's not some precarious situation about can you lose your salvation. The question is, do you have it? For those of us who have it, we know it. For those of you who don't, you're hoping, wishing, thinking it pans out okay in the end. Not good.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that answers the question, can I lose my salvation? It's an important part of his topical series called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? In fact, what we heard today is just a portion of part 6 in this series, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget that tonight, and every Monday night for that matter, you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. It airs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. Now, by the way, did you get to catch last Monday's program? It was awesome. I got a lot out of it. In fact, if you missed it, just click on the Video on Demand tab right there at the top of the page. Now, Pastor Jack had a chance to sit down with Kurt Bruner from Dallas Theological Seminary, and they talked about family and marriage from a biblical worldview. I got to tell you, it was awesome. Go catch it if you can. And then, of course, don't forget to watch tonight's edition of Real Life with Jack Hibbs on hischannel.com. By the way, our phone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.